Yes, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful. We're so thankful that, Father God, you gave us your Son, Jesus. Lord, we shudder to think what our lives would be like without you. And we thank you that you, Lord Jesus, poured out your life on the cross so that we could be part of your family. And that you have not left us alone, but left your Spirit to live in us and guide us. And we thank you for the joy of that now, but also the hope of more and more of you in eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Please do take a seat. Very warm welcome to you, especially if you're new. My name's Sophie. It's wonderful to have you with us. And wasn't that great? I felt myself taken back in time with that last song. I was like, oh, memories of childhood. That's wonderful. We're going to be continuing in our series in Romans today. And also, I wanted to say, just in case you were wondering, we're not going to be having a pause in our services over the summer, and we'll kind of keep going. It's Jeremy's work ethic. He's so hard. No holidays. So we'll be keeping on going right through the summer. So do join us. And would you like to grab your Bibles? We're in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 18. Just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can we be confident that God loves us? It's something we sing about a lot and think about a lot, isn't it? We talk about in church that God loves us. But for many of us, for me, it's hard to believe. How can we be confident that it is in fact true? Well, in our passage today, Paul points us to part of the answer to that question. I'm going to look again at verse 18. As one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Okay, well, what's that about? Well, Paul is making a comparison between two people, Adam and Jesus. The one trespass belonged to Adam, that moment in the garden where he chose to disobey God. The one act of righteousness belonged to Jesus, that moment 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. Now, Paul is saying that these two events aren't isolated. They didn't just affect only Adam and Jesus. In fact, they have affected all of us. When Adam rejected God, sin entered human experience. As a result, what is true of Adam is true of us. Adam sinned, and so we sin, or at least I do. And this sin creates a problem. It creates a barrier between us and God, which Paul calls here condemnation. Paul says that because of sin initiated by Adam, all humanity has, as it were, a guilty verdict hanging over us. Now, that's not a very comfortable or pleasant thing to think about, is it? But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain that God has not abandoned us in this desperate situation. He talks about one righteous act that resulted in justification and life for all people. And he's talking about that moment where Jesus, an innocent man, paid the penalty on the cross for our sin. Jesus took upon himself that guilty verdict and suffered the consequences for it that you and I deserve, so that we could be forgiven. And that's pretty amazing in itself, but there's more than that. It's not just that Jesus takes our sin away, but that he gives us something in exchange. He gives us his righteousness. Well, what do I mean by that? Look with me at verse 19. Paul says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were made sinners," that's us, "so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous." So Paul says that what is true of Adam is true of us. Adam sinned and we sin. Adam was guilty before God and so were we. But Paul is also saying that, amazingly, what is true of Jesus can become true of us. Jesus is completely innocent before God. When we accept Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, he gives us that same innocent status before God that he has. What is true of Jesus becomes true of us. Isn't that extraordinary? And that's one very good reason why we can be completely confident that God loves us and will always love us if we trust in Jesus. Because God the Father loves Jesus the Son. And what is true of Jesus becomes true of us. So if God the Father loves Jesus, he loves us. I imagine it a bit like this. It's like when we turn to Jesus and accept him as our Savior, he takes us in his arms and he holds us. And so the love of the Father that continually shines on the Son shines on you and me. We are included in the love that is shared between the Father and the Son, not because we're especially good people, but because what is true of Jesus has become true of us. Now, you might know all of this. This might not be new, but it's funny, isn't it, how quickly we forget it. And often we forget it, or I do, because I stop looking at Jesus and I start looking at myself and I think, gosh, what a mess I'm making, and why on earth would God love me? And so these wonderful songs we've been singing that speak of God's incredible love for us just leave us a bit cold. And we stop believing that they actually apply to us. But here's the antidote. Look with me again at verses 20 to 21. "The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul is saying that God's grace is much more powerful than our sin. Before Jesus came to live and die, sin reigned. Death and sin were undefeated, unbroken. But then Jesus went through death and came out the other side, which means that sin and death are now defeated. So when you are next tempted to look at yourself and think, how on earth could God love me? Remember, God's grace is more powerful than your sin. There is nothing you or I have done or will do that could remove us from his embrace. So let's not look at ourselves. Let's look at Jesus and be amazed at him and all that he has done for us. Amen.